to us, but yeah, it's just going to be that consistency, top 10s, that's all we want.
Alright, fantastic. Good luck.
Thank you.
Describe your outfit for those who are listening. I will post a picture as well.
Yes, post a picture, because you guys will see David wearing an amazing outfit that you can actually will soon be able to get at IndyCar merch store, as you can see.
Yeah, IndyCar, IndyCar.
Yeah.
Are the pants IndyCar?
No.
Oh, okay.
So we're not going to, the pants we don't like because they're not IndyCar, but I'll get like an IndyCar sticker on there and then we'll like them. But.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this is obviously a really cool outfit.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to be stylish.
It's very stylish.
People will give you looks of, you know, they'll be like, wow, look at this fella. Wow, what a good-looking, humble man. So yeah, if you want to look like me around this paddock, you know, make sure to hop over to the IndyCar merch store.
All right. So, on the actual race weekend, this is the first time since, I think, pre-COVID that there's another series with IndyCar this weekend at Texas. I know it's not Firestone rubber, but can it help in any way wear in the track a little bit, throughout the day Saturday when the trucks are racing?
I don't know how the rubber is going to be, but honestly, I think any rubber is going to help, you know, help grip up the track. Hopefully they can all just, like, force themselves to run high line. Because if they can...
Trucks can only go high all weekend.
Yeah, only go high, please. So that would help us. And, you know, in return, you know, it's not like for them it's going to... Oh, like, you know, if they want to watch the IndyCar race afterwards, it's going to be better racing because it's going to be grip up there.
Perfect. So how are you feeling about this weekend with your dashing teammate in the cowboy hat next to you here?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going for different...
You guys are definitely the stylish teammates right now.
100%. We're going for it. You know, we're the young guns. We have to do something different.
Stand out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I think it'll be really good. You know, obviously, going into this season, I'm supposedly a veteran now.
You go from rookie to veteran real quick.
Like instantly. And unfortunately, I don't get any more testing. But thankfully, he still had a rookie test.
Yeah.
So we managed to get some information off of him and learn from him.
Connor wants to know about your outfit as well.
And you look great. It's IndyCar merch. Looks like a Myrtle Beach spring break.
I know. But, it's IndyCar merch, man. You can actually buy it at the shop.
The sport.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had a good finish here last year. Is there anything looking back on you're going, all right, if I change this or do that, you know, I'm sniffing the top five at least this year?
Ooh, I mean, going from what we had last year, I mean, our car was good, and it just got better and better. Yeah. You know, we caught up to the top teams when it came to the ovals. I mean, Gateway obviously was a very good performance with strategy as well. So I think if we can all put it together and keep this consistency run going, I mean, a top five would be obviously very, very nice. And I think it's very much possible. It's a bit tough to say to see where our car is going to line up to everybody's. You know, things do change in the off season, but if it's similar to last year and everything that I've learned off of Takuma and myself, I think we'll be in a good position for it.
So I think last year there was 23 or 24 cars. There's 28 this year. Does four cars make a big difference throughout, you know, the entirety of a race with lap traffic and things that can happen?
You know, maybe on paper it doesn't probably wouldn't give it, but I do think on a track, especially on an oval, it's going to make a difference. You know, it's going to be that much more, a little bit packed, and especially on a track like this where that high line is very tough after a few laps of marbling, it's going to be a lot of following the leader in front. So I think it's going to have an effect.
All right, man. Good luck.
Thank you. Track time would have been more efficient, running in traffic together, whatever else, but everyone was dealing with their own issues, so I think coming into this weekend, practice one is going to be about learning what it's like in traffic as well as getting it right in qualifying.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of track time going into the race, but you got to do what you got to do. It's IndyCar, man, so figure it out pretty quick.
Who was it that was helping you with the car here for the rookie test? Did you have a different driver that was kind of feeling out the car or anything?
Nope, just me.
Okay.
I've got enough oval experience now that I know what I need from a car, at least on an oval. And the thing about oval racing is the characteristics of the car come out pretty clearly. You don't have to search for it too much, at least in my mind. So we were dealing with some stuff with the new aero packages that have been introduced for this year, considering what it was like last year. And I think that'll play a bit into the racing this weekend, but you never know.
A lot of cars, anything could happen this weekend again.
Oh, absolutely. Especially around here.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's ridiculous to be going around here with one car on track, let alone 28.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
Fun or nervous?
Which
both.
Is
both? Okay.
Yep. That's
thanks.
The only time that that combo answer actually works.
Yeah.
So the new aero pieces that you know you have on the IndyCar this year, especially for the super speedways. I know you obviously haven't driven an IndyCar in a super speedway other than a test, but from talking to David or talking to anybody else, how do you feel that they, you know, do you think they will help come Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I had Pancho Carter spawn for me at the test, and he spawned for David this weekend, so I know he's going to have his eye on me a little bit. But like I said, I got enough oval experience now that I feel like I can know which way is up, but you add 40 miles an hour and it kind of changes the game. So I think it's just more of the same stuff, right? The margins get narrower, the line's tighter around here, and the speeds are faster. So, you know, I think it's just being smart and not getting yourself in a pickle.
So you have a 50-minute practice in the morning, and then you go right into qualifying. Do you even think about worrying about the race setup tomorrow, Saturday morning, or is it, you know, specifically like, let's get a little bit of feel for the car and go right into qualifying?
I think that you got to do both.
Okay.
I mean, really, we're so limited on track time,
right?
And we have no testing time in the off season now. So it's you got to be very versatile in what you're doing and how quickly you're learning things. So I think that you can learn just as much from the mistakes you make during a session as you can from successes.
Sure.
So
sure.
I think it's just being aware and making sure you're not getting behind the car. And you know, I think for a rookie driver, it's easy to get distracted by all the little nuances that go into this.
Yeah.
But for me, I know that I got a good group around me and I can lean on them in that sense. But I'm getting to the point now with the team where I can have a voice a little bit. I'm starting to settle into my role at the team, it seems like, a little bit. And I think that that's going to help everyone. And having David there as well with, like, the recent rookie success that he had, I think it's helpful for me just to know that what we're capable of.
Awesome, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
We said, oh, yeah, we got way better numbers out of this. But, well, we should have done that last year. But, you know, it's good that we had the second opportunity. Last year, this was my first goal. So now having gone through it, having the experience, I'm just looking forward to get out there.
I guess you feel like, how far along do you feel like you're in your progression of learning how to race on ovals the best you possibly can at this point?
To be honest, I don't think the racing is that bad. But I think, you know, the progression of setting the benchmark where to start, you know, like start faster, I think is what needs to be improved this year. I think I want to expect from last year, going into it for the first time, you just got to go out there and drive really and get along with it. I feel way more confident this year. I'm just comfortable with the car. I've been with the team for a year now, so we'll wait and see for tomorrow.
Do you feel like, I guess, you'll have a little bit of time between qualifying and finishing and being able to make some changes to the race, so you're gonna have, you're maybe not gonna have a qualifying and a race setup. It's probably not gonna be that extensive, but you're gonna be able to change more than you could last year. So, do you think that'll improve the quality of racing that we'll see on Sunday?
Yes and no. I think actually looking at the numbers, me and DK were the two cars that overtook the most cars for position. So, you know, for me as a rookie to look at those stats, that's pretty brilliant. But no, we did have a very, very good race car last year, but we. To say it as it is, we sucked at qualifying. I think all three of us, we were just simply too slow in qualifying. But again, the points are scored on Sunday, not doing qualifying. So that's something we also need to keep in mind when we want to start further up.
Is there anything you learned from the St. Pete weekend that's going to help you moving forward? I know like the practices were a little bit, I mean, obviously we don't speak to you after the end of every practice session, but it felt like maybe you were trying to work through some things and things weren't quite, you know, as you would hope, I guess.
I think we started St. Pete too aggressive across all three cars. We went through practice one and we have two cars on the wall, so to me that just seems like, because it was just so tough to drive that the car was all over the place, we didn't really seem to get it in the window where we could work with it. Jack seemed to be able to work with it better than Graham and I were, which is unfortunate that he wasn't able to finish the race, because I think that was his most competitive race in a while, and you know, I felt bad for him afterwards. But how the weekend started and us coming away with two cars in the top 10, I think was a gift for us, because I don't think our car was good enough to finish up there.
Thank you, appreciate it. The kind of aero changes that you've got options for this weekend?
I think it's good. I mean, it's something that I think has been needed here for a while. You know, we went from a style and then went so far the other direction for so long, and you know, I'm happy that we're finally getting back here. You know, I'm optimistic that, you know, with the way the forecast is looking for the weekend and temps, you know, pretty similar to last year, and it's a pretty decent step forward from what I see. So, you know, I think it can be really good for the product.
I think looking at the parts, it seems like they're all kind of stuff that you have had access to before, or variations of stuff that's similar. So does that give you any advantage knowing what these parts kind of do on their own?
I mean, for sure, the backside of the underwing, you know, I think we have good level of confidence in. The barge boards are still kind of new, like, as far as speedway usage, really just last year we started playing with it. So I think there's still learning to be done there, you know, with the best way to use that tool. But, you know, I think it is going to be a good tool for here, I think.
What's a realistic expectation for you this weekend?
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I guess you obviously scaled back a little bit now, and part time. How has that changed your expectations going into a weekend like this?
I mean, it doesn't change much. You know, I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't be coming here if I didn't think that I had the potential to go win a race. If I do my job and the team does its job, so you know, I've got high hopes. You know, this had been a place that we used to be very, very strong at, and we kind of went through a spell where we struggled here, and you know, I think last year we really turned a corner. We qualified poorly last year, which really hurt us, but you know, Renus showed really good pace in the race last year up front, and I think I'm confident in what we're bringing here this year. Like, we feel like we learned in the off-season with off-season work, so you know, I'm very optimistic.
What's the key to maximizing a 50-minute practice, learning new aero parts, and getting ready for qualifying in, you know, an hour, 50 minutes?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very busy and compact day. There's not going to be much time to go back to the truck and really break stuff down, so it's going to be important to be in a good place early and stay on a plan. But you know, I do think you'll see the majority of the field, you know, focus more on qualifying in the first bit and do race running in the second bit. But may not be the case, who knows.
You have a little bit of time, like, after qualifying to make some changes before practice, which is different than last year. Is that helpful? Maybe not as helpful as I'm thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of wish they would just let us go back to the garage, but you know, there's enough time to do everything you need to do out there, so it's not a big deal.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Can you talk a little bit about how you approached ovals when you came into IndyCar? Because I think over the number of races that you've done, you've easily got the best record of pretty much anyone in the field. So what are the... Is there anything in your approach you feel like has really helped you to do that? Is it just the way you race on ovals?
I've always said it's because I feel like we have some of the best oval packages. We have an oval package that's as good as anybody's. And, you know, obviously the approach to a road and street course is different to what it's like in an oval. You have to be more aware and mindful in an oval just because of just the more risk that there is and the very little time that you have in the compressed schedule.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
To get something sorted out if something goes bad. I don't know. I think
just good.
I've really enjoyed the the idea of trying to perfect the a different skill, you know, it's obviously a lot different to racing in something that's not going just left. And I don't really know what it is. I think it's just learning as I go, I guess. Yeah.
Is it something you watched a lot when you were younger, oval racing?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, my first time in a super speedway was... It was actually Indy. But my first time here in Texas, it was freaking terrifying, the first few laps. Because it's just... There's just something... It's like a... It's a super speedway bull ring. It's like an Iowa, but like
big,
way faster. And you just feel a lot of like compression in your body and stuff. So it takes some time to kind of get used to it, just because you do feel the speed.
How much of a read do you think you've got on the aero changes that they made this weekend, and how much of it is going to be experimenting in for you guys?
Absolutely nothing. Okay. So it'll all be new to me.
Okay, so that's
good. Yeah.
Even more than ever, this is becoming a home race for you. I mean, you got your own little grandstand section now and everything. How fun is that?
It's awesome. I don't have a home race, so for me, being able to bring people from, well, not bring people, but give the opportunity for my fellow Mexicans to come out and support is always a no-brainer for me. And I have to say, it's going to be a lot bigger than what I thought I could have pulled. We're packing up 3 suites, which is 64 people per, so it's 192 people. And I've given away over 600 grandstand tickets. I don't know if all 600 are coming, but if, you know, a good 50 or 70% of that comes, I think we'll see a lot of black and orange out there, which is going to be awesome to see.
Do you have any read on if these people are actually coming from Mexico or if they're more local based?
Oh yeah, I see every single order that comes in, and it's a good mix. It's a really, really good mix. A lot of people from local here in Texas, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, a lot of people from all over Mexico, Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey. It's a really good mix.
Is this your way of trying to help to ensure that Texas stays on the schedule, that it's popular enough to keep coming back? Or is that not really the angle you're coming from?
No, I mean, the angle I'm coming from is... I understand it's an effort for people to come and support. For the life that I carry on, you know, it's a travel, it's just a travel, right? But I understand that it's more than just getting a ticket. It's the food, the hotels, the flights, the car ride. Like, it's not just coming to the race, and I wanted to give everybody a chance, or at least give them a reason to second think it and be like, oh, you know, this deal is just too good to pass on. And I'm not gonna make any money out of this, but I'm also very glad I'm not gonna lose a lot of money out of this. And by that, we're going to have a lot of people here. I'm going to have a lot of guests. And to me, that has a lot of value.
And the best show you can give them is donuts on the front stretch, right?
Oh, yeah. This time we'll try and keep it out of the grass.
Have you noticed any... I know, obviously, Argentina and Mexico are very different countries. Different, you know, they're not necessarily exactly close together or anything like that. But have you noticed, since Agustin's come into the series, that there's been... any sort of increase in Spanish-speaking fan base on your side? Or?
No, for sure there's been an increase. I mean, for sure I understand the series doesn't want to be global, but I sure as hell think that they can have a massive growth in Latin communities, Argentina, Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, anywhere in Latin America, for IndyCar would be huge.
Do you want to see this place?
Is it going to happen? From the looks of it, anytime soon? Probably not. I don't know. I just feel like the series has so much potential, and it can be so much bigger than what already is because the racing product is phenomenal.
Would it have to be a points race or even an exhibition race?
No, part of the championship. Like, no, come on, why exhibition? No, part of the championship. You know, we can have IndyCar be a championship that, okay, it's not global, like it was a good amount of years ago, but there are so many different countries racing in the series that it's just, it's a no-brainer to tap into those markets. And two of those markets are pretty much a given that would be sold out. And they're both Latin, and that is Argentina and Mexico. I'm sure returning to Australia with, you know, Power Stillness Series, being a champion last year, with McLaren coming into the series and setting the bar and how a brand should be, that's obviously bringing a lot of people from Europe and a lot of interest from Europe. There's just so much potential there. It's there. All we have to do is crack into it.
Yeah, Agustin's championship that he used to race in. It's got more followers on Instagram than anything else.
There you go.
Like a hello, my name is not Andrew. Label. Just read it.
Joseph.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Yeah. You know. That is definitely not the name I go by.
Yeah.
So you got to be excited about this, based on Connor laughing. You got to be excited about this, based on the fact that this team obviously has got a good success right here. Yeah. We've been competitive here. It's a really good weekend in St. Pete to bounce off of. So momentum building.
Yeah. I think it's funny. Like, of the races I've finished here, we've actually been pretty good. But fortunately, I haven't finished very many of them for a multitude of reasons. But I think that, you know, the team's, you know, success and pedigree here speaks for itself. You know, the performance that they've had here has been very strong. You know, as strong as the best, if not the best. So, you know, for me to be able to have the opportunity to jump into that package with a relatively unchanged kind of baseline structure of the track and the car and everything, is a great opportunity for us to really capitalize on what was, as you said, a strong first week.
How do you think the new aero components are going to help the racing this weekend?
Continuing to be a step in the right direction. You know, we've said we need more downforce here, and IndyCar's listened, and every year they've brought more and more, and, you know, they're limited by kind of what Firestone will allow them to do.
Yeah.
You know, IndyCar, if they could have it their way, would just pile on everything that we want, but there are load and stress of the tires that obviously is very important to think of as well. So, as a series, and everyone's kind of worked to get to this point, obviously having what I imagine will be the majority of the field doing the highline practice will be beneficial. We saw that last year. I didn't do the race, but I watched it. It looked beneficial. And then what else? It's going to be pretty cool in terms of the ambient conditions. So I think all of those factors, we should have a pretty badass race at some point. It should be awesome.
Good luck.
Sweet. Thank you. Dave's cracking the whip.
The aero changes and how that's going to impact the weekend.
Some of it's, you know, there's no doubt there's going to be a lot more load. You know, I think at least a couple hundred pounds, maybe more, depending on what you take or don't take. I think that's for sure going to tighten everybody up. We tightened up last year. We're going to tighten up more. It's still the conversation of the second lane. You know, how much can we bring that in? It's funny because I've been asked about this finish to the race last year, and the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, why didn't I get up there sooner? Because it worked. So I think that brings hope to maybe making the second lane work even better this year. We're gonna have more load. You know, there's more opportunity to build rubber there with the truck series and our highline practice. So yeah, I feel confident. I think if anything, you know, the tough thing about it is the closer you bring everybody together, the harder it is to separate yourself. So I think, you know, this weekend's going to be a challenge to find a difference maker between us and the competition.
Can the truck rubber help you guys out throughout the weekend?
I think so. Yeah, I think without the PJ1 being laid and them just running on the track, I think it's only benefiting us. So I think it's real positive that they're here and that we've got all the time we do.
Good. Yep.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.